Are you ready for the word? We're going to try that again. Are you ready for the word? All right, let's go and welcome everybody watching on the internet right now. Good morning. God bless you. If you're watching on the internet, all over the country, all over the world, we're grateful for technology that God uses that so we can be together even when we're apart in the natural. Go ahead and grab your Bibles if you would, please. Hold those up in the air. Repeat this after me. This is my Bible, and I believe what it says. I can have what it says I can have. And I can do what it says I can do. I choose to open my heart and my mind to God's word today. Amen. Amen. I'm going to be reading to you a bunch of scripture here in a little bit. I've decided to put the majority of it on the screen, but I want you to be taking notes today. If I could begin to ask you in this in particular series to allow me to be more of a teacher than a preacher, teaching on the Holy Spirit, helping you understand is my first priority in this series, helping you understand so that the Holy Spirit, we're talking about an excellent spirit, is not a topic that I am just well-versed in or that I have a passion about, but that I could somehow help you see the value and create a passion in your heart as well. I'm asking you to take notes so that you can go back later this week and reread the verses with a different set of understanding. After we get through today's lesson, I want you to read it with those eyes and ask God to give you revelation in your own life to see the value and to see that the Holy Spirit implement His gifts and resources and abilities into your world, into your current situation. My desire long term is that you would then help me present the Holy Spirit to other people in the world. That our church, and I believe one of the mandates on this church, is to help bring the move of the Holy Spirit and help bring a relatability and a relevance to the move of the Holy Spirit into this generation. I have a concern that this generation spends very little time trying to understand the Holy Spirit and very little time trying to understand the value of who He is. And some people see the tongues part and they think that's all there is to the Holy Spirit, or some people think even just some miracles, that's all the Holy Spirit is. And the Holy Spirit has been sent here by God to make sure God's kids win and to make sure that God's kids get everything that Jesus paid for them to receive. And I want us, not just Pastor Kevin, I want us to be able to communicate that value to other people so that you can be having coffee with someone. And I know that some of our friends don't value the things of the Spirit like we do. And sometimes we recoil or we pull back and we kind of get intimidated when they start saying things to us about, oh, you go to that kind of church, or oh, I hear they speak in tongues there, or oh, you believe that? And it's almost as if this spirit of intimidation comes out trying to get you to shrink on what you believe or who you are. And the only reason you would shrink is because you don't understand the value of what God is doing in the Holy Spirit. And so the only way to counteract that isn't to sit there and say, hey, be bold, but rather give you the information so that you can have confidence, because truth sets us free, right? The truth and the revelation knowledge. When I've seen something and I've stretched and I've grown and I'm convinced of something, the Bible uses a phrase called fully persuaded, which means you can't persuade me otherwise because I've already been fully persuaded. Now, if I'm double-minded, I'm unstable in all my ways. But if I've become fully persuaded, then guess what? I can also become very persuasive. You can become persuasive. Are you understanding this? God has put you here in this church for such a time as this. And I still believe Jesus told us to go into all the world and make disciples. But He said, do that once you've gone through the upper room. Once you've received that filling of the Spirit of God, so that you're not out there trying to do it for the Lord, you're doing it with the Lord. Are you understanding that? And so the value in this excellent spirit, this value in this series where we're teaching on the Holy Spirit, I want it to, yes, apply to you, but I want you someday to be so at peace and so filled with understanding that you could then walk somebody else that has questions. So it's not like, let me bring you to Pastor Kevin, he'll answer those questions. Then that's not a mature church. You need to be able to answer their questions. You need to be able to have confidence in your coffee break when you're working at the hospital and a bunch of nurses are gathered around and they have questions, because the Holy Spirit will set up opportunity for you to answer people's questions because He knows that you have the answer for their questions. Isn't that good? So I want to talk to you about the Spirit of God again today. And as I said, I'm asking you to take notes, to be intentional, because I believe what we're going to communicate is of value enough to see it again throughout the week. Today I want to talk about the promise of the Father. That was a phrase that Jesus used and that the New Testament book of Acts uses. Concerning the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or the coming of the Holy Spirit upon a believer in great power. Now, I don't have time today, and I'll try over the next few weeks to dissect some of these things. We are saved and recreated in the new birth by the Spirit of God. We cannot be saved except by the Holy Spirit of God doing a new creation work in our lives. But that's another discussion for another day. This discussion, and some of you are in my Bible school class this week, I will be repeating some of the things I said. We just happen to be on the same series, unintentionally, but we're on the same series in our Bible school as we are here on Sunday. This, in particular, promise of the Father that we're talking about is a work that is done after someone gives their life to Jesus. They've already been washed. They've already been forgiven. You're going to heaven. Your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We honestly believe, we genuinely believe that people can be saved and be going to heaven, and that doesn't mean they have to have what we refer to as the baptism of the Spirit. There are denominations and churches out there that say if you don't speak in tongues and you're not really saved, you're not going to heaven. We do not believe that. We believe you can be saved because you called upon the name of the Lord to be saved. You've asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. Amen? This is talking about a promise given to God's children. You see, the promise is to his children. He's not talking to his non-children when he's making a promise. Are you understanding? This is the promise of the Father to his kids. And so, yes, I want you to understand that first you become his kids. Though it's a work of the Holy Spirit, it's different than the promise God makes to his kids once you become part of the household of faith. I've already lost you in the first 5 minutes? I hope not, because I got a long way to go. The promise of the Father. The promise of the Father. Luke chapter 24, verse 49. We'll try that again because I think I shocked you. Luke 24, 49. And now, this is Jesus speaking, I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father has promised. So the Holy Spirit is the promise of the Father. And Jesus is saying, I'm the one sending him. The will of the Father, he's been promised by the Father, and I will fulfill that transaction and that request and desire of the Father. I want you to remember that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. He's not another spirit from God. He's not just some random spirit in heaven. He is the Spirit of God. And so when God has given us a promise to send him his Spirit, he's really giving us a promise to send us himself. See, because God the Father is at the throne of heaven. Jesus Christ is at his right hand in reality, according to the Scripture. And so the God that we experience and the God that we have his presence and his reality on a daily basis indwelling us and living with us and going into our world with us is God the Holy Spirit. And so here the Father is saying, I promise you, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is saying, I'm going to make sure that he comes. Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. Once when he, talking about Jesus again, was eating with them, that would be the disciples, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift that he promised. And so now we have the language of the Holy Spirit coming into your life, this baptism, this filling, this receiving of the Spirit. Now, all three of those words are going to be used in the New Testament, especially the book of Acts, in referring to what it is we're talking about, this enduing or this filling of the Spirit, this promise of the coming Spirit and his power, his reality and presence and his power in your life. So, write that down in your notes. The baptism, the filling, and the receiving of the Holy Spirit are all referring to the same event after salvation. A secondary event after salvation. Are you with me still? Yeah. All right, so Jesus is saying here, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you what he has promised. As I told you before, John baptized you with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Again, that Acts chapter 1 talks about it being a gift and about it being a promise. James chapter 1, verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of change. So the Bible's telling us that God is giving us a promise. He's giving us a gift in that promise. And James is telling us that gifts that come from God are good and perfect. Isn't that wonderful? You know, sometimes people are afraid of the coming of the Holy Spirit into their life, the receiving of the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They wonder, what's going to happen to me? Is something bad going to happen to me if I open up and receive these things that God has been talking about, that Jesus has been talking about, and yet the Bible's referring to them as gifts. Amen. And the Bible's referring to them as a promise. And the Bible gives us very certain terms that if it's a gift and it's a promise or it's something from God, it's going to be good to us. Could I get an amen?
Amen.
God is for you, not against you. And what God has for you, He knows, is for your profit. It's for your increase. It's for your success. God wants you to win more than you even want to win. I want my children to succeed. I want my kids. Now, I'm not a perfect father. God is a perfect father. But as an earthly father, even, I want my kids to go beyond their wildest imagination. And God is saying, I'm going to give you a gift. And I make you a promise. I'm going to give you this gift. And it's going to do good to you. You don't have to be afraid when you ask God for the Spirit, is something bad going to happen? Because He's a gift from God, and gifts from God only do good. And they fulfill what He promised. I know that's simplistic, rational thinking, but I want you to kind of see it that way. It's a gift from God. How could it do bad? How could it do anything but good? Because those things which come from God are good and perfect. Which also means that idea of perfect, it means there's nothing better. It's complete. Amen? It's not this progressive perfect. It's perfect as it's being given to you. The Spirit is perfect as He's being given to you. I also want you to see the idea of a promise. When I make a promise to my kids, it's typically with the eyes of something good going to happen to them. I promise I will do something is an idea of what I'm going to do. I am trying to help you see is for your increase or for your betterment or something to help build your faith, something to help you get excited about it. It's called a promise of the Father, not a threat. See, the baptism in the Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, He's not threatening you with the Holy Spirit. You better shape up or I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. Better get your act together. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you power. Yeah, dunamis power. How do you like those apples? You don't get your act together. Tell you what. It's not the threat. It's a promise. And we need to see that the Holy Spirit coming into our life is not something like a threat that's going to make us less of something or do damage. It's a promise. And promises speak of future. Promises speak of creating hope. Promises speak of creating faith. Are you understanding? When I give my kids a promise, faith rises because that promise is coming. The idea of even calling the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Father, is supposed to build expectation and interest and hope. Like, this must be something to look forward to, not something to run from. Are you understanding? It's the promise of the Father. The idea of a promise also speaks towards or against fears. To alleviate fears. The idea of promise a lot of times is to help the child or the young person be at peace while they wait for it. Because there's anxiousness and there's anxiety that comes into our world and comes into our life. You know, it's like my kids when we're out in the swimming pool when they were little, and I would be standing in the pool and I would say, jump, like take a leap of faith. And they would be like, and I would say, I promise I'm going to catch you. See, that promise was to alleviate a fear, an anxiety, so that they could experience something. Amen? And also build confidence that I'll catch them. And so you need to see a promise as a declaration of something good's going to happen. A promise is something to look forward to. But also the fact that God is making us a promise, He was trying to alleviate some fears in the hearts of His people. And some of those fears in His disciples were this: Jesus, You're talking about leaving us and we're going to be here alone. And His promise was, I will never leave you or forsake you. I will not leave you as an orphan. And I promise you, I will be with you always, even to the end of the earth. And that promise is linked to the person of the Holy Spirit. Remember what I said, God the Father is on the throne. Jesus has right hand. And so Jesus is making a promise so that you realize you're not in this world alone. I promise you to send the Holy Spirit. I promise you to send the gift. I want to alleviate your fears that you're going to try to take on this world and the enemy of your soul and the enemy that's out there to steal, kill, and destroy on your own. See, because God didn't send you into this world to fulfill a great commission on your own. He sent you into this world to do it with Him. And He made you a promise. But don't leave without Him. Don't get started without Him. See, God made you a promise to alleviate fears. So here we are again. It doesn't surprise me that some of the most important things God has promised us are those things which the devil tries to attack and create fear in. so that you will leave the promise behind, so that you will devalue the promise. You won't see the value of the gift, because really, the reason the confusion's there or the assault is there is because the enemy knows that with God, all things are possible. And if God is with you, then all things are going to be possible. And he wants you to go out there and do it on your own. As a forgiven child of God, as a pure and clean child of God, as a glass that has been washed and cleansed but is empty, and you have nothing in you to fulfill the job. Are you understanding this? I'm understanding it. But my heart is that you understand it as well. The promise of the Father. Something good. Something to speak into the fear of something. You know, there's fear of loss, fear of lack, fear of failure. And here the promise is, I'm going to make you full. You're not losing anything. You're not empty. You're filled with the Spirit of God. You're not alone. I am with you in the Spirit. Quality. Let's talk about quality and excellence. I've been in a leadership course in the last month or so. I'm actually going back there again this week. And our professor was talking about the difference between quality and excellence. And he began to paint a picture of quality for us in definition. And you can write this down. He said quality is meeting expectations. Meeting expectations. Therefore, if you go into a restaurant and on the sign, it says, great food, great price, great service. You walk in, you're going to judge whether or not that's a quality experience based on what they communicated they were going to provide. Does that make sense? So if it says great food and the food is horrible, not a quality experience. Could be great service, could be great value, but the food tastes terrible, not a quality experience. You understanding? Or the food could be amazing, but the waiter punches you in the face when you order. Not a great experience. Great food, great price, not a quality experience. Not like it said on the door. But if on the advertisement on the door it said, subpar food, rude service, we're hostile to you, enter at your own risk, you may have some sort of salmonella when you're done, and we're going to charge you a lot of money for it. Well, if they meet any of those expectations, you know it's at least a quality experience because they fulfilled their promise. And then excellence is not just meeting the expectation or what you've said, but excellence is surpassing expectation, doing more than you could expect. And so I want you to see something here in Jesus, how in John chapter 16, that's where we're going to go next, John chapter 16, Jesus begins to paint a picture of quality when it comes to the Holy Spirit. He begins to build some sort of point of reference. He begins to build some sort of a picture of what's going to happen when the promise comes, a picture of what's inside the gift. And so Jesus begins to explain to us or to disciples what to expect. You know, sometimes when we pray for people to get filled with the Holy Spirit, sometimes we have this idea that it's just an all of a sudden thing, that people come in, they can give their life to Jesus, they get filled with the Spirit. And the truth is, you can do all that. There's nothing wrong with that. The moment you're prepared by the Spirit of God, washed, cleansed, prepared by the Spirit of God, you have access to be filled with the Spirit of God. And actually, intentionally, it's best that when you give your life to Jesus, you immediately ask to be filled with power so you can have successful power to live and to overcome. It's better to do it more quickly than later. But what I want you to see here is Jesus actually begins to tell the disciples what's going to take place when they receive the Spirit. What's going to happen? He begins to paint the picture of quality. He begins to give them expectations that when the Holy Spirit comes upon them in Acts chapter 2, this is what you can expect to happen. And again, I think some of this conversation that Jesus is about to take place in John chapter 16 is to alleviate some concerns or fears, to also help them realize what's inside the gift so that they can begin to utilize, appreciate, value something. See, the hard part about, though you can legally, yes, be filled with the Holy Spirit the moment you're saved, but you know nothing about him, you are literally filled with the power, the dynamite power of God, and all you might know about it is that you felt something and you spoke in some tongues, but you don't understand the wealth of the promise and the gift that's inside of you. Doesn't mean don't receive it right away, but it means educate yourself of the gift and what's inside of it, because it's in you whether you know it or not. And if you're not operating in it or you don't realize the value of what's in you, you're not going to utilize it. You're not going to draw from it. You're not going to have expectation of it. So much more was given to you in that transaction of being filled with the promise of God. See, when God makes a promise or when God makes a gift, it's not simplistic in its design. It may look simplistic on the outside, but you understand the creativity and the knowledge of God is invested in that gift. Man, that was a mouthful. And here, Jesus is trying to set the stage. He's trying to build a level of quality to help the disciples understand that when they begin to speak in tongues, when they begin to experience that moment in Acts chapter 2, that this is some of the stuff that's taking place. And he's beginning to unpack it for them even before they receive. Are you understanding that? And so here we find ourselves in John chapter 16. Are you ready? We're going to put it up on the screen in the Amplified Bible, so it kind of gives us a little bit more definition. But now I am going to him, this is Jesus speaking, who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I've said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart and taken complete possession of them. Remember what I said? The promise was to alleviate fear. And that promise of the Spirit coming, the promise that God was going to give you this gift and give you this promise of the Father, was to alleviate some of those fears. The disciples knew Jesus was leaving, and so Jesus began to talk to them about the promise of the Father. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper, and the Amplified begins to define that word Helper in the Greek and lists a whole bunch of names. I want you to write them down, please, because it's all part of unpacking the gift. It's all part of showing you the quality, the expectations you can have on the gift. Remember, quality is meeting expectations. And here in John chapter 16, Jesus begins to set a visual of what to expect. See, if not, you're going to think the Holy Spirit coming is just tongues. When reality, when the Spirit comes in, when the promise comes in, it's not just tongues. He's help. Amen. And God begins to talk to you about the quality of help you're going to receive in this promised gift. So that then they're looking forward to the coming of the promise. Do you see how all this fits together? Not that they're being threatened with the help. And they're nervous about the coming. Notice, they were eager for the coming because they understood the quality of the help that had been promised. And so Jesus begins to talk to them about the helper. And the definition of helper there, you can write down as comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby. We're going to get to that again in just a moment. Comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby. He will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. Again, this is all language of promise. This is all language of expectation. This is all language of something good's about to happen to you, not something bad. To be in close fellowship with you. I'm going to pause there for a second and go back and now explain that word helper, because Jesus set some standards. See, we use one word. That's the hard part with the Greek in our language, is we'll use one word for something like love. But in the Greek, the New Testament, the word for love can be defined in like four different ways. But we just use the same word love. Same thing here with the word helper. You just think of, oh, a little bit of help. And so Jesus begins to give you some expectations. Now, the Holy Spirit needs to measure up to the picture Jesus promised, or else it's not quality. You understanding? So if Jesus says the helper is going to bring you comfort and he doesn't, then that's not quality. And so in the middle of your loneliness, the middle of hurt, the middle of pain, the middle of broken times, the middle of sorrowful times, I've done some funerals recently. I don't do a lot of funerals, but in the last month I've actually done two. One for someone that was older and one from someone that was just 1 year old. And I've done both sides of the gamut in the last 2 weeks. And you know what I've seen? The Holy Spirit is every bit the comforter that he said he was going to be. And he not only fulfilled the responsibility of bringing comfort, but he comforted them in greater ways than they could have imagined. He brought people into their life. He's brought in verses. He's brought songs. He's brought the help that he said he was. And he's exceeded expectations, which makes him an excellent spirit. Amen. Are you hearing that? Yeah. Amen. You can celebrate that the Holy Spirit's excellent spirit. Amen. Sometimes you see people in the middle of great hurt, the middle of great loss, and you think, how in the world is that person's life going to be put back together again? And the comforter brings a comfort that not only, you know, gives them emotional help, but the comfort he brings actually begins to put the pieces of their world back together again. That takes it from a level of expectation of just having peace and then now having restoration. That type of comfort, he not only gives them comfort for the moment, but he gives them comfort that they still have a hope and a future. It's an excellent Holy Spirit. He is an excellent Holy Spirit, not just meeting expectations, but exceeding them. And so Jesus begins to say he's a comforter. He's an advocate. A strengthener. And he's not just going to give you a little bit of strength. He's not just going to give you just enough to make it through. I love the verse in Acts 1:8 that you will be receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And the word for power there is the word dunamis, which is the word dynamite. You should be writing this stuff down. There should be smoke coming off of your page. The word dynamite, which means this, God is not giving you just enough power to get through. He's giving you enough power to blow the competition away. Amen. You have more than enough power to make it through whatever valley you're in or whatever obstacle that stands before you, whatever bondage or temptation the enemy comes in. The enemy comes in and says, I'm never going to let you go from that addiction. I am greater than you. But yet the Word of God says, the greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And the devil's a liar. And he's trying to make you think he's more powerful. But you have enough power not just to survive another day of addiction or out of addiction, but to blow the old chains off of your life and out of your family tree. You have more than enough power because you have a strengthener. And the word strengthener is the definition of God's definition of strength, not your definition of your type of strength. This is God's might. God's might. The mighty hand of God, the same might that raised Jesus from the grave, is the same might that you have because it's the same power. The Spirit of God. Are you hearing me? There is more going on in the promise. There is more going on in the gift than you have considered. And people are setting these gifts aside saying, I don't want that promise. I don't want that gift. I want to be washed. I want to be forgiven of my sins. And I don't want anything with that Holy Spirit because I'm nervous when all it is something good supposed to be happening to your life. And Jesus begins to paint the picture of the comforter, of the strengthener coming in, the standby, the intercessor. I want to talk to you about the word advocate and the word counselor for a second. Advocate and counselor, both these two words have within them legal ideas. Now, counselor can be someone who's there to give you advice, someone there to give you counsel. You think of a therapist, you can think of a psychologist, and the Holy Spirit is here. I thank God for good Christian counselors. I have no problem needing counsel from one another. God's gifted people in that. And I'm not saying, hey, you don't need those things. You should. You should access those tools. God's gifted them in that for a purpose. He wouldn't give them a gift for it if you weren't supposed to ever use them. Come on, that's good. So don't ever think that being a counselor is, oh, you must not be spiritual enough and you're going to have to use a counselor. God has given us counselors that we can trust. The Bible says there's safety in many counselors. Nothing wrong with counselors. But there are times where you need counsel. You might need financial counsel. You might need counsel in your emotions. You might need counsel in the depression going on and the anxiety and the panic. You might be in the middle of the night. You might be overseas in the military. You might be doing something around the world. And you know what? You're not alone. God didn't leave you out there alone. And you can't say, I don't have a phone book to find a Christian counselor right now. God is your counselor. The Holy Spirit is there because God said he's going to help you. And the quality of help is going to exceed your expectations. He's going to be above and beyond all you could ask, think, or imagine. The quality of help is there. He's an ever-present help in time of need in the person of the Holy Spirit. You say, no, that's Jesus. I'm telling you, my friend, God and the Father is on the throne. Jesus has right hand. The presence of God that you feel and the person of God that's going to come into your situation is the Holy Spirit. Get used to him and understand who he is and stop running from that idea of the Spirit and running to who the Spirit is. And so he can be an emotional counselor. He can be there when you need counsel at the side of a bed of a hospital when your mom or dad just passed away and you're sitting there and the counselor can't be reached on the telephone. You understand? But the Holy Spirit can be reached because you are the temple of the Spirit. And the counselor isn't out there somewhere. The counsel of God is right in here. Or you don't know what to do. Your kids are having problems. Your kids are having struggles in high school or with academics or with relationships. And you're sitting there going, I never took a class on how to be a parent of a teenager. Or maybe you did and you still didn't understand. But you know what? You have the wisdom of God. You have the counsel of God. And if we would just learn to tap into the help, but we don't even realize the value of what's in the gift that was promised. And yet Jesus is painting the picture so that the disciples know they're not just speaking in tongues on the day of Pentecost, but a gift has been infused into their life. A quality, an excellence, a provision to do everything. They had never built a world-changing faith church before, and yet within them was all the wisdom they were going to need in the person of the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit, that word counsel, can be like counselor, yeah, like a counselor or a coach or a referee, teaching you how to win, teaching you how to adjust things. They tell you when you golf, you won't get better with golf unless you have a coach. Because you'll just stand there if you keep swinging, thinking I'll just swing and hit more golf balls. If someone's on the outside telling you where your stroke is wrong, where your stance is wrong, you're just reinforcing bad patterns. You need a coach to make you better, to see on the outside and tell you what to adjust. And the Holy Spirit, again, all of it is to help you win. Do you see the heart of God here when He's offering help? He's not offering you help just because you're just vulnerable and He's just trying to give you a little courteous help. He's infusing you with ability. Amen. To overcome and to win and to achieve and to do. Amen. Now the legal side. Advocate, counselor, can also be looked at as legal counsel. Legal counsel. You know where the judge in the courtroom says, counselors, approach the bench? Or the advocate. The word advocate, actually in the Latin, I looked this up again just to make sure, but in the Latin, the word advocate means to call for help. And here the standby, the might of God, the wisdom of God, God Himself and the person of the Holy Spirit. It's, we can call on Him and He's here to help. Amen. To call for help, for representation, and for an advocate. And both of these are legal terms. An advocate could have been like a magistrate or someone who would speak on behalf of. And so you say, why do we need all this legal help with the Holy Spirit? I'm going to get to you right now in the rest of that verse because it's all in context. But basically, bottom line is this. Your salvation, your faith, is in a new covenant. It's a new covenant, Jesus said when He took communion with the disciples, written in His blood. Are you remembering this? Yeah. Covenants are legal documents. Covenants are promises written in the blood. Covenants are binding. Covenants are eternal. Families coming together. Promises being made. Weaponry being exchanged. Resources exchanging someone's weakness for their strength, for the strength of the other. And this is a legal deal that God performed. When Jesus came in, he didn't just leave. It's not just a religion or just a promise. In the blood of Jesus, real legal things were accomplished. In the blood of Jesus, real sins were paid in full. In the blood of Jesus, real courtrooms were settled. Heavenly courtrooms and court cases were settled. Are you understanding this? So that we're standing one day, the world standing one day in a giant courtroom with God as the judge. And Jesus Christ made covenants, and Jesus Christ made contracts, and Jesus Christ fulfilled the obligations of legal transaction and legal change for your life. Again, it's not just adding morals to your life. See, when we pray a prayer, we think, oh, we just prayed a prayer, and it's so simple. What you think is so simple, the wisdom of God had to create.
Amen. That's good.
And so the contract and the promises and the provisions and the wealth that is inside of that contract all belongs to you because of the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
And now you have legal counsel to help you interpret the will and testament. You have legal counsel to help make sure you don't miss one part of your inheritance. Isn't that awesome?
Amen.
I love that. You know, for some of us, when it comes to our inheritance, you know, we've never needed lawyers in our families because the only thing we had to inherit was like a lame dog, a broke down tractor, you know, a few sticks of gum and some plastic silverware. We didn't really need lawyers. But the greater the estate, the greater the wealth, the greater the influence, the more you need to make sure you receive everything that's coming to you. Do you understand that? Thank you, Norma, for getting what I just said. Do you understand what I just said? See, we don't totally have a heart that's convinced that what Jesus has provided for us is all that amazing. Because we think all we got was forgiveness of sins. and you think, oh, I got it. You understand, God has put legal counsel with you to make sure you get everything that's coming to you. So I wouldn't assume that you get it all just by thinking you know what you're talking about. Remember, the wisdom of God created you. The wisdom of God fixed this system. The wisdom of God created a legal transaction to provide an inheritance. We receive an inheritance of which is greater than you could ask, think, or imagine. And so the counselor and the advocate is there telling you what belongs to you so that you can receive it. So it can't be stolen from you. You understand? Let me prove it to you, because I feel like only four of you are believing me right now. Let me prove it to you in the rest of that scripture. Verse 12. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth, full and complete truth. He will not speak on his own initiative, but he will speak whatever he hears from the Father, the message regarding the Son, and he will disclose to you what is to come in the future. He will glorify and honor me because he, the Holy Spirit, will take from what is mine. And he will disclose it to you. Now that word disclose is the word transmit it to you. He will reveal it to you. He will declare it to you. He will show you what you didn't see before. He will take from what is mine and he will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Amen. Amen. Wait. So the Spirit is taking everything that's Jesus. What's Jesus's? Everything that's God's. And Jesus has inherited it. Amen? Amen? And the Holy Spirit is taking what is Jesus's, which is what? Everything that belonged to God. And he's declaring it and transmitting it to you. Transmitting it to you. Amen. All things the Father has are mine. Because of this, I said, because of the size of what I just said, I'm telling you what I said, that he, the Spirit, will take from mine and he will reveal it to you. I love that. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, all the things that God has prepared for those who love him and are called according to his promise. Amen. And man, I just want you to see the love of God in this. See, this isn't just legal stuff. Listen to this. The love of God for you. To make sure you get everything that Jesus paid for. To make sure you receive, and that the devil can't take it, and that the Holy Spirit's reminding you of passages in the legal contract. You want to know what verses coming to your heart is? Verses coming to your heart is the advocate and counselor saying the devil's trying to take your health. Guess what? There's something in the contract that says he's not allowed to touch your body. He's not allowed to touch your health. And so the Spirit brings a covenant. The Spirit brings a promise. Spirit brings the language of the contract to your understanding so that you can say, stop. Stop, because you have no legal right to take my health, to touch my kids, to touch my finances, to touch my future. I don't belong to you, devil. It is written in the contract that I belong to Jesus. All my debts have been paid. All of my standing now is the standing of a righteous one and a holy one. You can accuse me of my past, but written in the contract is where that past was forgiven and where I was exonerated of that past. And I was given a hope and I was given a future. I can run boldly into the throne of grace and get the help. It's in the contract. I can run right into the throne of grace and find help. And the counselor is there. The advocate is there saying, don't forget. Don't forget what came to you, what belongs to you. Because in the middle of crisis, in the middle of pain, in the middle of failure, it's easy to forget what belongs to us. We begin to get focused on what we don't have rather than remembering what we do have. And the Holy Spirit is there to make sure you have the help to remember what God has given you. Amen. Amen. The helper helping. The helper is helping. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 through 20. The helper is here to help. Ephesians chapter 1, 18 through 20. Amplified again, I pray the eyes of your heart, the very center of your core being, may be enlightened and flooded with light by the Holy Spirit, so that you will know and cherish
the hope of the divine guarantee and confident expectation to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance. Wait a minute, you hear what Paul just said? I am praying that the Holy Spirit will give you eyes to see the inheritance that belongs to you. Notice again, the size of the inheritance is so big on your earthly self, you cannot see it. And so Paul's saying, the helper is here to help you see what you really have, the inheritance of the saints of God in the power of God in your life, to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, God's people. And so that you will begin to know, see, God's heart is that you may know, and the Spirit is here to help you know what the immeasurable, unlimited, and surpassing greatness of his divine active spiritual power is in us who believe. These powers are in accordance with the working of the mighty strength which he produced in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Let me just quickly wrap this up. This is a New Testament idea that I want you to see. In the Old Testament, people understood the anointing of God, the coming of the Holy Spirit upon a person for a mission, for a moment. The Spirit of God would come on Samson, and he would get strong, and he would kill a bunch of people and bring the house down. The Spirit of God would come on Elijah, and he would do a great thing, or Elisha, and he would do a great thing. And so you'd see the Holy Spirit come upon people for a moment. You'd see them come upon people for a mission, something to accomplish. And then after that, you don't hear much about the Spirit there. You see, but in the New Testament, something's different. The Holy Spirit, this promise of the Father, is not a moment. Amen. This promise is a indwelling. Amen. This promise is a resident helper that doesn't come and go based on the need or on the moment. He's always ready to help. That's that word standby. Amen. He's standing by with all that he is to help you, because you don't know what you're going to face that morning when you wake up. But that helper, the Holy Spirit, is there. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That God has promised you this gift to get you through that divorce, to get you through that heartache, to get you through what you weren't expecting. Yet you are more than able because you are not alone. Amen. Amen. And so in this New Testament idea, the Spirit does not just come upon you to fulfill a mission. The Spirit comes upon you for you too. See, this is all new language, New Testament language, where the Spirit is not just there to fulfill a great work, but to fulfill an inner work. The work of God in your freedom, not just freeing the slaves out of Egypt, but making sure you stay free indeed, making sure your slavery is over forever. Are you understanding? That spirit of help on the inside of you is to help make sure you personally don't go back to Egypt, not just the masses. Come on, that's good. Amen. This is a New Testament thing, that here the Spirit is, the language of the New Testament is that the Spirit is in us and for us who believe, not just through us. God isn't using you like just this man or woman of God to give your gifts and give your talent and serve his purpose, and then you're dying on the inside. See, now you have a river of living water bubbling up on the outside, inside of you, and your well will never run dry. See, that Spirit is taking care of the man or woman of God as well as the mission of God. See, listen to the care of God again. Man, I hope you fall in love with God in these conversations of the Holy Spirit, because you see the intention of God. You see the mind of God toward you. Even words like fruits of the Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit is about your life getting better and increasing. Amen. And producing fruit in other people's world. But notice that the Holy Spirit coming into your world is making you better, not just the world better. Right. And we'll get into the future messages, though, that part of them, but the Spirit is in you to make the world better. Amen. And we cannot lose the mission of why we've been given what we've been given as well. Okay? Go ahead and stand up with me as we close in a word of prayer. Did you get anything out of that today? Yeah. Amen. You have a power in you and for you. And God is here. The helper is here to help you. The helper is here to help you. Let me pray this in your life. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for Life Church right now. I pray for the ones watching on the internet. Lord, as we're digging into the picture of the Holy Spirit, we see the quality that you promised. But as we've experienced the Holy Spirit, He has exceeded our expectations. And He's truly excellent. He is an excellent Holy Spirit. And He does excellent work in our lives. God, I ask that You would help us to open up to You. You'd help us to open up to Your promise. You'd help us to open up to Your plans and purposes. You help us, God, to say yes to what it is You're trying to bring into each and every one of our lives. God, I do ask that You would use Life Church in humility and in wisdom to help change culture, even church culture, in their being so barred off and so afraid of the things of the Spirit of God. God, through wisdom, through great humility again, that You would help us to open people's hearts in this generation to say yes to more than just being forgiven and going to heaven, but yes to the assignment, yes to the abilities, yes to the gifts, yes to the moving of Your Spirit in their lives. So God, I ask that You help us to see and to understand that we might multiply this task in the hearts of our region, in the hearts of our generation. God, I pray right now, if there's anybody in this room that needs great help, help to get over a sin, help to get over the past, help to get over a hurt or failure, help, they need an advocate, they need a counselor to remind them of what belongs to them. Lord, all these things that You said, I pray that You would begin to confirm Your word with signs following, and You begin to speak to their hearts right now in Jesus' name. God, I pray that You would begin to tell them truth, You begin to give them hope, You begin to give them insight, You begin to give them peace and rest, and You help them to know that greater is He that is in them than he that is in the world. We just give You, we give you praise and we give You honor for all these things in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Before I dismiss you, I want to give people an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. The Bible tells us that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of that sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. The Bible goes on to say that all who will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. You might say, saved from what, Pastor Kevin? Saved from our sin, saved from hell, saved from eternal destruction, saved from a road that we're on, that our life and our fleshly thinking and our wicked ways are trying to destroy us, saved from all kinds of stuff. Saved into something as well, not just saved from something, but saved into something. And saved into right relationship with God, saved into eternal life, saved into this ability to be infused and helped by the Spirit of God. See, the Holy Spirit cannot be given to the world. He can only be given to the sons and daughters of God. And so you don't even have access to all that help while we're still in rebellion against God. And so the Bible tells us all who will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so if you'll bow your heads, close your eyes, I want to give you an opportunity to call on the name of the Lord to save you today. You might say, Pastor Kevin, I don't remember a time in my life that I ever called on Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. Today is your day. You might say, a long time ago, I used to have a relationship with God, but I ran away. I left. God never left me, but man, I left Him. And I sure like to come home. I'd like to sell out and give my life back to God in a real way. If that's you today, whether you've never prayed that prayer or you just say, I'm ready to stop running and I'm ready to give my life back to God again today. With everybody's eyes closed and heads bowed, I'm not going to call you to the front. I'm going to pray for you right at your seat, but I need you to be brave enough to raise your hand if that's you. Would you please, without looking around or worrying about what's going to happen next, if you need to get right with God, would you please just put your hand up right where you are and we'll pray for you today. There's a hand over there in the back. Great. Anybody else? Just put your hand up wherever you are today and we will pray to make sure your life is right with God. There's another hand in the back. Great. Anybody else? Anybody else? There's no reason to leave today out of, there's a hand over here on the side. Wonderful. Anybody else? Out of relationship with God. Just slip your hand up wherever you are and we'll pray for you today. Okay, church, let's all pray together so they're not praying by themselves. Repeat this after me. Dear God, I thank You that You see me just as I am. I realize I've sinned and I've walked away from You. I receive Jesus Christ today as my Lord and Savior. I believe that He died for me and that He rose again. Please forgive me of my sins. Wash me, cleanse me, make me new. Fill me with Your Holy Spirit. Take every part of me now. Thank You for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Would you give God praise for those that raised their hands today? I'm going to ask the prayer teams to come to the front. I'm going to dismiss you, and as I do that, our prayer teams are going to be here, and if you need prayer for healing or freedom, or maybe you want to receive the Holy Spirit and that baptism, that filling of God's power, that the Bible talks about, that promise that we were talking about. You come up today and they'll love to pray with you to receive that infilling as well. Let me pray and dismiss you. Don't forget to sign up for the women's conference on your way out, as well as volunteer for the Harvest Festival. Heavenly Father, I bless Life Church as they go. I thank you your word goes with us, confirming itself. We give you thanks that we are filled with help, filled with ability, and that God, you would continue to paint the picture of what you've done on the inside so that we can receive of it and have faith and expectation. In Jesus' name, amen.